Buenos días. Oh, very good. I'm impressed. That's how I normally have to greet people at church. So this is a little unique opportunity for me to do this in English. So living in Honduras, spoiler alert, and there'll be several spoiler alerts probably thrown out during this sermon. We're going to be talking about the book of Jonah today. And the reason why is because if I get to work with our children's ministry in Honduras, not on a daily basis, we have staff that do that, but when we have teams come down, often they'll go in with our kids and they'll bring a lesson and a craft. And we've been doing this in the capital city for 20 years, and so a lot of the kids that we've had with us have been there for 10, 15 years. So I've asked the groups to get creative, think outside the box, don't do the normal Bible stories. But now we've started expanding again, and praise God, we have like five different churches with milk projects around the country. And a lot of these kids that are coming in have never been to church. So we are going back to the basics. And I've always had a problem with the way we teach kids the Bible, in the sense of the way we have those little Bible booklets that have the stories in them, because they don't give the kids the full message. And I understand that when we're acting out David and Goliath, that at the end, when Goliath falls, that we don't want to actually go and cut Goliath's head off and walk around with it. I mean, it's messy, it's impractical. I get that. But the version that we see of Jonah in the books isn't the full picture of the book. And it's a pretty version. And life isn't pretty. And neither is Jonah. But the book really isn't about Jonah. And I guess that's where I want to start, is that even though there's many books of the Bible that have people's names, the stories contained within them, of course, aren't about that person, because it's God's story from Genesis to Revelation. It's God's story. And so I find it helpful to maintain that as my focus when I start to go through different books and different stories like Jonah, especially Jonah coming out of the Old Testament, where I run into a lot of people. I'm sure there's people in the United States too that have a problem with how they see the difference between the Old Testament God and the New Testament God and how they wrestle with that. And so what I want to do is go through the book of Jonah and see what can we learn about God through four different reactions of Jonah. Okay, so Jonah chapter 1, and we're not going to read the whole thing, although another spoiler alert, we are going to read chapter 4, which is the part that always gets left out of the Bible stories. But Jonah chapter 1, God calls Jonah, says, I want you to go to Nineveh. Jonah says, no, right? And what does he do? Jonah chapter 1, he flees. And here I can at least have something in common with Jonah, because I think we all recognize Romans 3:23. We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. In our own ways, we've all fled from God, whatever point in our lives. And what's interesting is that in Jonah's sin of not going where God's calling him to do, but instead turning around and going the other way, it's often interesting that when we think of sin, we think of our sin. But we often don't think about the way our sin affects other people. And Jonah was ready to take down the boat, if that's what it meant, if he didn't have to do what God wanted him to do. And so even the men on the boat end up crying out to God, but no thanks to this prophet, this man who's supposed to be taking the message, no thanks to him. So at this point, of course, at the end of chapter 1, Jonah hits rock bottom, or in this case, fish bottom. However you want to say it, because he gets swallowed up by the fish, he's run, God said, no more running, right? And then Jonah chapter 2, what does he do? Jonah prays. And I think this is also symptomatic of at least my life in the learning of the Christian walk, is that how often do we pray, period? How often do we practice prayer without ceasing, as the Bible would tell us? And how often are we just like Jonah, that when we pray, it's when we have no other way out, when we've absolutely exhausted all of our own resources, and then we go, oh, yeah, hey, God, I need some help here. Are we practicing prayers of gratitude, prayers that our car started this morning, prayers that the brakes actually worked because I wasn't sure they were going to, prayers for others, prayers for our church, prayers for the world, not just asking for things, but practicing being in prayer. And then we get to Jonah chapter 3. And so Jonah chapter 3, he prays, fish spits him out, and Jonah chapter 3, he goes. So God calls again. God is patient. And what does God want? He wants obedience. And so we see in chapter 3, and I'll read a little bit of this, that Jonah is obedient, but he's not trying very hard. So in Jonah chapter 3, verse 4, and I'm going to read this with my own penchant for being weird, but Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming 40 more days and Nineveh will be overthrown. That's the way I read it, because that's the only sentence you're going to get out of Jonah for, does it say that God's going to overthrow? No, but that's Jonah's message. That's his mediocre obeying. And then you go a couple more verses to chapter 7. This word, this word gets all the way up to the king. And then the king issues a proclamation. And it says, by the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let the people or animals, herds or flocks, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows, God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. More words from the king than we get from Jonah. And it's important, I skipped something on purpose here, another kind of a spoiler alert, is the reason that Jonah didn't want to go, of course, because this was a bad place. These were bad people doing bad things to the people around them, to the Jews. There was good reason for Jonah to hate these people, to not like these people, to not want them to be saved. You know, we're all, in a sense, called to go out and share, hopefully a little better than Jonah did. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're all Christ's ambassadors, which is another way to say missionaries, which is another way to say someone who's been given a message and goes out from his boss and goes out and shares it. It's overwhelming if we see that call correctly. And I think that's at least one thing we'll see that Jonah at least did a little bit understand. But in missionary work, in just life, if you understand the call correctly, it should feel a little overwhelming and a little scary. But the point is that we're not called to go alone. Because who is with Jonah? God. Salvation, of course, is from the Lord. It's not something that we can see from at least the recorded message of Jonah, not something he was not bringing the heat, as we would say. I know in my time in Honduras, and just in life, and the times that I've got to hear from people thanking me for some conversation or some time spending on a short-term mission trip or whatever it would be about how God worked through their life and the change that was brought about, 9 times out of 10, when we're talking about that, I'm struggling to remember what conversation we even had. Or if I can remember it, I don't remember anything special about that conversation. But yet God is using those moments where we obey and where we go. Now, this is where it gets really good. And this is where the story ends in the children's books, which is ironic. But if you stop in Jonah 3, the people repent, everything's happy, you know, sunset, it's great. But that's not where that's where you would write it to end. That's where I would write it to end, because that's pretty and neat and great. But it's not where it ends. Jonah chapter 4. So Jonah chapter 4, he digs in. Let's just put it that way. He digs in. So we're going to read the whole chapter, and we're going to break this down and try and see not only Jonah's reaction, but see God in this. So Jonah chapter 4, verse 1. But to Jonah this seemed very wrong. What's that? Oh, that God had mercy and grace and love on the people, and that they repented. And so this seemed very wrong, and he became angry. He prayed to the Lord, Isn't this what I said, Lord, when I was still at home? This is what I tried to forestall by fleeing to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, Lord, take away my life, for it's better for me to die than to live. And how often is that our part of the story, where we want to wallow and live, we want to dig in our resentment and our angerness, our bitterness over situations or the way we think people are acting or whatever it is, and how reluctant are we to let it go? Let it go and let God, as is said a lot of times. And are we practicing that? I have learned, as I'm still a young man, right? But as I'm getting older, especially living in Honduras, living cross-culturally, getting to see things from different points of view and get to know different people, that as much as everybody thinks they're right, right? We're all right, right? But that when I can let go of trying to be right, except on the real key tenets that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to the Father through him, when I can let go through a lot of the other non-essentials, I can learn a lot more about other people. I can reach a lot more people. And I can also get closer to God. But it's real easy to dig in. It's real easy to do it to the point that you don't even feel it, and that you do it to the point that Jonah wants God to kill him because God saved people. It's totally illogical. It doesn't make sense. And spoiler alert, Jonah's going to double down. So we have a problem oftentimes seeing the way the world works and why certain things, bad things happen to good people. Another spoiler alert, there are no good people. We covered that in the chapter one, right? We all flee. We're all fled. We're all sinners. But are we, another spoiler, are we trusting God? So verse 4, the Lord replied, "Is it right for you to be angry?" And I think this is a key, because Jonah recognized what God could do. But he wanted his way more than he wanted God's way. And there's a big difference between knowing God and trusting God. You know, where's our testimony going to be when, you know, like, what's our small part in God's story going to be when theft, lies, death, destruction come our way? How are we going to react? Because that's a huge part of our testimony, and that's something we also had to learn, excuse me, in Honduras. We had break-ins, especially the first several years we were there. We had some bad stuff happen. And while I was trying to wrestle through that, I could also see the neighborhood, the people around us, some of our staff who were really, had just come to Christ. All eyes were on us to see how we were going to handle that. Were we going to turn the other cheek? Were we going to love our enemies? Was I going to pray for the repentance of the people that had just stole from us, that maybe somehow God would work that through a ministry bigger than the one we're working in, through theft, through lies? It's not easy. Just like prayer, it takes practice. You know, 2 Timothy 4:2 says that we're supposed to preach the word and be prepared in and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. And I think a lot of times, just like a lot of other things, we see that as outward. But how are we doing that inwardly as well? Now, the good news is that when we obey, God works. Because it's God's story. It's not our story. When we get it messed up, we are backwards. Jonah's main problem wasn't knowing, wasn't praying, it was trusting God and letting him work. And we have to be aware of telling God what we won't do. I've seen that several times in Honduras on mission trips with different participants. One of the biggest times I remember that happening was a woman. I was in church service, I'm translating, Honduran pastor. There's a group around me that can't speak Spanish, so I'm translating. rather what I would say normal sermon, and the woman next to me is trying to control it, but she's crying, tears streaming down her face, sobbing. And then later that night, she shared that she had not wanted to come on the trip, but that God told her she was supposed to go. And then she said, okay, but there's three things I won't do when I'm in Honduras. And the sermon, you guessed it, was about those very same three things. You know, I also think of another person in the Bible, Job, who went through a lot more than Jonah. And at the end of the book of Job, Job has kind of been a little quarrelsome with God. God gives him a couple chapters of putting him in his place and saying how big God is and how small Job is. And then the Job chapter 42:2, after God has done all this, and after Job has had all these questions, Job says, I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So let's get back. This will tie in. Jonah, let's go to the end of chapter 4. So because the story ends where Jonah also wants to die because God killed a plant. I went too far. Let's just read. Jonah had gone out and sat down in a place east of the city. There he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. He was waiting because he still wanted to see it destroyed. Then the Lord God provided a leafy plant and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head and to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the plant. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm, which chewed the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, it would be better for me to die than to live. But God said to Noah, is it right for you to be angry about the plant? It is, he said, and I'm so angry, I wish I were dead. But the Lord said, you've been concerned about this plant, so that though you did not tend to it nor make it grow, it sprang up overnight and died overnight. And should I not have concern over the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who can't tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? That question is how the book ends. And that question is for Jonah, but I think it would do us well to ponder that question as well, because God is calling us to join him, to the Nineveh in our hearts, but not just to Nineveh, not just maybe across the world, but across our own living room, or across the street, to our families, to our work, to our school. He's calling us all to go. Unlike Jonah, we're called to go, pray, obey, and release. It's all God's story. Are we going to trust him and obey? And I'll end with Proverbs 16. Which is 16:18 is where we get pride comes before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. But two verses after that, it says, whoever gives heed to instruction prospers, and blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Let's not be like Jonah, digging in our heels, crossing our arms, and wanting to die. Let's trust in the Lord. Trust in that when we have questions, God gives us a question right back. Because the point isn't about us knowing, it's about us trusting and obeying. It's about faith. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, thank you that you are you, and help us to remember that we are just us. Help us to remember that you are great, and only you are great. Help us to trust you. When we have questions, when we have struggles, when we don't understand, help us to trust. Help us to have the faith to walk in you wherever you would have us go and to whomever you would have us reach. Thank you, Father, for your love. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. It's in your name we pray. Amen.